This holiday season, Upside.com is giving all business travelers the gift of a better business travel experience. Just book your next business trip at Upside.com to enjoy a level of customer service you've never had before. You deserve a better business trip. Upside.com. This is
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guys, time's running out to get her the perfect gift this Christmas. Shop JCPenney now and get everything on her list for less than you think. Now through Sunday, save an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Plus, find her something she'll really love, like a diamond bracelet for $49.99 after 20% coupon, and find jewelry up to 65% off. Hurry in, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/21 to 12/24. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Some exclusions may apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Cole Wright with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Devontae Freeman leading the charge for the Falcons on Monday Night Football, giving Atlanta a 24-21 win on the road in Tampa. Freeman with a season-high 194 yards from scrimmage on the evening as the Falcons head to New Orleans to take on the Saints on Christmas Eve to finish the regular season at home against the Panthers. In other news, Steelers wideout Antonio Brown sustaining a partially torn calf during Sunday's loss to the Patriots. The NFL's leading receiver is expected to return for the postseason. And Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis has been suspended the final two games of the campaign for his helmet-to-helmet hit on Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams. According to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, the veteran linebacker will appeal. Rappaport also reporting Raiders left tackle Donald Penn is scheduled to undergo season-ending foot surgery on Thursday. Penn suffering the injury during the Raiders' loss to the Cowboys on Sunday night. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I've never felt more alive.
Disclaimer, Geico cannot guarantee you will feel more alive. You either possess functioning respiratory and circulatory systems, or you do not, or you are a zombie. If you are indeed a brain-starved zombie and you would like to save money on car insurance, the Geico legal team applaud your excellent life choices, even in your shambling afterlife. But we strongly encourage you to visit geico.com or download the Geico app. Please stay a minimum of 500 feet away from our large and presumably delicious, delicious brains.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back. Welcome in. Hour number two of three of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Remember, cutting out early on 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids for some high school basketball. All the way to 7 on 106.3 in Iowa City and 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency heard all across eastern Iowa. Don't forget, vote in the poll question at AKGYMradio.com about what Josh Jackson will be announcing after next Wednesday's Pinstripe Bowl. So get right to it. A lot of ground to cover here in a hot stove discussion with Jesse Rogers from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, covering the Chicago Cubs. And Jesse, let's go ahead and start with, I think, the number one item on the discussion list among Cubs fans right now is where this team stands with Yu Darvish and how it came to be that these two sides are maybe eventually going to come together, because it didn't exactly look like he was a priority for them this offseason.
Yeah, it really is a surprise to me. I did not think he would be a Chicago Cub, and he still may not be, but So a lot of weird things going on, a lot of back and forth between players and teams and agents, more so than usual is what I'm getting at this time of the year. Usually the dominoes have fallen. People are signing, and you sort of have an understanding of what's going on here. We're past the GM meetings. We're past the winter meetings. So to answer your question, how we end up here, it's about the only way possible, meaning Darvish hasn't found what he's looking for elsewhere, and the Cubs have sort of been in a stalled position with several of their targets, including Alex Cobb, who I know, you know, most people understand have been on their list. So when you're meeting with a major free agent for the first time in late December here, it's unusual, right? Usually you knock that out right away. You target a guy. So I think it's coming down to the value of the deal. It might be right for the Cubs. And this is just speculation, but I would not be shocked if Darvish, if he signs with the Cubs, it was a four-year deal. And that doesn't sound like much for a guy like him. Most people thought he'd get five, six, seven. That's my feeling. The Cubs have been targeting these second-tier guys at 2 years and 3 years so far this offseason. I don't think they mind paying a little bit higher rate per year. They just don't want to get locked into 5 or 6 years with a pitcher. So it wouldn't shock me if he got four, and that's why they would choose him over Arrieta, who's absolutely going to, you know, go for six. Maybe Darvish ends up at five, but or there's a big option for five. But I think it's just a confluence of events here that they ended up with each other, and it may happen. And I don't think it was their first or second plan, but it's not a bad one to fall back on.
And it's interesting because he's been under a pretty team-friendly deal the past six seasons, yet he's at age 31, his health declined a little bit, his performance a little bit as well. Has there been any indication as to what kind of contract he's looking for? Because you mentioned it right there. He hasn't found what he's looking for with other teams.
You know, it hasn't really leaked out. I mean, they keep these things pretty tight to the vest. I will say that the feeling in baseball was Arrieta was going to go for the most in terms of years because of Scott Boras's agent. And also, Boras is going to try to sell to teams the fact that Arrieta doesn't have as much mileage on his arm as other guys that become free agents. He's also not been injured. Now, some teams might find that an issue because there's probably an injury around the corner, but a healthy guy that's only thrown 1,100 innings, I think, is what Boras is trying to sell. So he thinks he can get 6 or 7 years. Darvish has 2,000 innings under his belt, almost double what Arrieta has. He had Tommy John surgery. Again, that could be a good thing. That could be a bad thing. It's hard to judge. And so I don't think he can ask for 6 or 7 years with that much mileage on his arm. That's my feeling. The other feeling is Darvish has made a lot more than Arrieta in his career. Darvish had a big contract when he came over from Japan. So, you know, he might settle for a little less. That's kind of my feeling here. Arrieta's going for the gold. Darvish might be a silver, and a guy like Alex Cobb might be the bronze. And the value might lie in the silver for the Cubs.
Warming up around the hot stove with Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Let's go ahead and talk about another big possible move this offseason, and that's Manny Machado of the Orioles, whom the Cubs and the White Sox are both rumored to be in on. You wrote a piece, and I know it riled up Cubs fans, about trading Addison Russell for Manny Machado. You said you ran this past some folks at the winter meetings. From a baseball sense, from a baseball standpoint, it makes a little sense here. Take us through the parameters of why you think the Cubs should make that deal.
Well, I mean, part of it is, look, they can win with Addison Russell. So this is just like shooting for the moon, trying to hit a grand slam. I'm not saying they do this or they lose the division, right? I want to make that clear because everyone's like, oh, my God. No, it's not, oh, my God. This is just would be a cool thing. And the genesis of it is talking to Jed and Theo and other executives, off seasons take a life of their own. There's twists and turns. You can start planning your off season in August, right? And all of a sudden you go to the winter meetings and Manny Machado becomes available. Who would have thought Manny Machado was going to be available? But what I think happened is the moment Stanton got traded to the Yankees, the rest of that division besides Boston gave up. So now the Orioles are sellers. The Rays are sellers. And all of a sudden you pivot from plan A and maybe you go for something you didn't even expect. A guy like Machado, you put him in there with Bryant and Rizzo. You might win another World Series, and you might also convince them to stay. So those are my reasons for it. I also gave some reasons why you might be selling high on Addison Russell. He's been a little injury prone throughout his career, and he's still very young. So you can make a case he's getting past those injuries, or this is a trend that's going to turn into a pattern. So, you know, a lot of teams like to make that move. They know their players better than the other teams. So a lot of teams want to make a move like that before the injury happens and you lose the value. But I was kind of more just like going for it, you know, like who wouldn't want Machado in there with Rizzo and Bryant, taking almost nothing away from Addison Russell. So, yeah, again, talking to enough people, the 4 years of Russell control for one of Machado lines up, to be honest, because really it's 3 years you're giving away because, you know, you've got Machado for one, Russell for four there, then he has three more, which is a lot to give up. But I will tell you, the feeling about Manny Machado outside of Chicago apparently is much higher because everybody in the winter meetings was like, yeah, you got to add Russell. You got to throw Russell and a couple pitchers in there for sure. While Cub fans were like, I wouldn't give up Russell alone. So I have a feeling that, you know, people are not realizing what Machado can be. A little bit of a down year last year. Now, here's the thing about them being on talks. You know, any name you choose that's out there available through trade or free agency, a team like the Cubs will be in on. They don't just turn away from anything that's possible. You know, that what I just said about you pivot, they will turn into anything that's possible because they have the money, the wherewithal, the Wrigley Field. You know, they have a team that people want to come to. So they will look at everybody and anybody. And that's, again, going to Darvish. They might get him at a cut rate. They might get Machado at a cut rate in terms of what his talent actually should bring back. And that's why they're going to look at anybody and everybody that is a good value for them.
Now, Jesse, it's interesting because we hear a lot of the names that are involved in these trade rumors, at least from the Cubs side. And you just mentioned Addison Russell, and Kyle Schwarber's name has been brought up, and Ian Happ's name has been brought up. One of the names that really hasn't been brought up is Javier Baez. And I think back to last May, there was talk about him being a piece that they might be willing to part ways with. Has he almost become an untouchable commodity at this point?
Yeah, I think that's the right way of saying it. He's almost become an untouchable. I don't think anybody this side of Rizzo or Bryant is truly untouchable, but he's darn close. And frankly, so is Addison Russell. I mean, you want your strength up the middle, and these two guys are as good as it gets, but Manny Machado is also really, really good, more offensively than defensively, but still, I mean, especially if you move him to short, but still pretty good. So my feeling the whole offseason, at least I got one thing right. I thought the Cubs would address most or not all of their pitching through free agency, and that's exactly what they've done. My feeling was they would never be able to get the match trade-wise that would work. In other words, they valued Schwarber higher than other teams, so the return wasn't going to be what they wanted, whereas Russell and Baez would be too much to give up for what they want, unless it's a slam dunk, you know, number one pitcher on another team with years of control, different story. So barring a no-brainer, it's a tough match trade-wise, I think, because Happ and Schwarber, this is my feeling, Schwarber for one reason, Happ for another because he's a rookie, they just don't, you know, have the same cachet because of everyone has home runs. And that's what these guys were all about. They hit home runs this past year, and they're not as valuable out in the open market because of it.
Talking for just a few more minutes with Jesse Rogers, an early Christmas present for our Cubs fans here in Eastern Iowa. Let's talk about the bullpen a little bit. Wade Davis is a free agent. The Cubs signed Brandon Morrow and Steve Cishek at the winter meetings. You've got Carl Edwards Jr., who's in the mix there. Is it possible that they could still have a reunion with Wade Davis? And if not, what's your best guess as to how Joe Maddon, at least at this point, would handle the bullpen the final, say, three innings of the game?
Yeah, going back to what I said about what they've been after in terms of pitching and the years they're willing to give out, I think if Wade Davis sort of comes back to the Cubs with a three-year, you know, willing to sign for 3 years or less, I think there might be something to talk about here. That would give them a really dynamic bullpen. But short of that, and it's possible. I mean, the market's been weird, so I don't know what is going on here. I would have thought Alex Cobb would have signed for 4 years, Darvish five, Arrieta six, but none of that's happened just yet. So maybe Davis does come back to three. I will tell you, this market for closers, nothing like last winter. And I think a lot of the agents are looking at last winter and saying, look, this guy signed for 4 years and 62 in San Francisco. Jansen and Chapman were huge money. Where's that for us? But it's just a different year. There's not as much demand for closers. Only a couple contending teams need them. The Cubs and Cardinals are two of them. But so far, you know, no one signed for huge, huge money like they did last year. In fact, they signed early last year. As far as what they'll do, Brandon Morrow will close. He just won't close 5 days a week. If they're winning games, Cishek will get some attempts. Edwards will get some attempts. But Brandon Morrow will close when he's available. they're not going to overuse him. They're going to use the same formula they used on Wade Davis, sort of save him for the big push at the end and give other guys a chance to emerge a little bit. Edwards and C-Shack obviously has done it before, but Morrall would be the guy opening day.
Have the talks about trying to find a trade partner to sort of dump Jason Hayward's salary kind of died down as of late?
Yeah, they have. I'm not sure they were ever really alive. It was a nice thought, you know, dead money for dead money. If he was hitting a little bit better, that would work. It's just that right now it's such a hole in a lineup for what is it, seven more years, almost six more years. It's tough. You know, dead money is 2 or 3 years, you know. I'll trade for your bad guy. He's up in 2 or 3 years, like Matt Kemp or someone like that. It's tough to trade for a guy with 6 years, unless you're just getting the same thing back, 6 years of dead money. So it's a really hard deal to make unless they pick up a lot of it. And that isn't impossible. He does have a no-trade clause, though. He is such a great guy and such a great defender that I'm not saying teams wouldn't want him, but the Cubs would have to pick up a lot of the money.
Before we let you go, Jesse, you mentioned the Cardinals. They've had a very interesting offseason so far, and they made that trade with Marcell Ozuna. What's Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer said about St. Louis and the coming battle between these two rivals in 2018? Because the Cardinals are certainly stepping to the plate this offseason.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They sort of expected it, and it makes sense. Being around the Cardinals and in this division, they don't stay down for long. You know, everybody wants to use their farm system and slowly build. But right now, the Cubs are running away with this division now, 2 years in a row, making playoffs 3 years in a row. So it did feel like St. Louis needed to make a bold statement. They had like a reset midseason when things were going poorly. They changed some things, coaches, everything. So it's not surprising to the Cubs. So they are getting a little closer, but they had bigger ground to make up. You can't say, oh, the Cardinals crush the Cubs in the winter. Well, the Cardinals needed to crush the Cubs in the winter because they were that far behind them. So it has gotten a little closer. I expect them to sign it or trade for a closer, maybe another bat, and we'll have a nice little rivalry next season. I mean, the issue with the Cubs, if I take a step back, what made them special 2-3 years ago was cornering the market on power. There were like no third baseman that hit home runs, right? There were no left fielders that hit home runs. Schwarber and Bryant hit home runs, but so does everybody else all of a sudden in baseball. They're not as special, and they're not as special on the mound. They knew this would be the offseason where, you know, some things would turn over and Lester's getting older. So they feel a little bit more normal, but certainly a contender. The Cardinals are trying to catch him, though.
Great stuff, as always. I feel about 5 degrees warmer around the hot stove after that conversation. Happy holidays and happy new year, Jesse. We'll touch base with you sometime in 2018, I suppose.
Okay, you guys take care.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, ESPNChicago.com. Great stuff as always. And there you go. Wrap that and put that under the Christmas tree for our Cubs fans here in Eastern Iowa. That was probably my favorite segment we've ever done with Jesse Rogers. There's a lot to unpack or unwrap to keep with the theme of the Christmas holiday. Yu Darvish and the Cubs, and I know there's a great piece available at theathletic.com. Which is a subscription site if you're not familiar with it, but I do subscribe. It's worth every penny, not an endorsement. Talking about how Yu Darvish and the Cubs were not necessarily eyeing one another, and they just sort of have fallen together. Now, I know Darvish was said to be meeting, I think, with the Astros today, representatives of the Houston organization, and it's certainly not a foregone conclusion that he would sign with the Cubs, but at this point, anything is possible. And then all of a sudden, Tyler Chatwood, who got that 3-year deal, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel right-hander who pitched the last couple years with the Colorado Rockies, then he becomes your 5. And you got Mike Montgomery, who says he wants to start. He's in a mix there as well, but also in the bullpen. And Montgomery is a name that was floated by Ken Rosenthal that would be packaged together with Addison Russell in a possible Manny Machado trade. Would you? And I know this is the great discussion here, because Machado it's 1 year and there's no guarantee that he would re-sign. Oh, and also, by the way, the Cubs have a third baseman. So do you move Machado back to shortstop? And then what do you give away defensively there from what you have in Russell? Do you give him third and move Bryant somewhere? There's a lot of questions. I'm not saying I've got the answers here, but as Jesse points out, you've got an opportunity to swing for the fences and hit the home run here. maybe they try to do it. And then I don't think any Cubs fan at the beginning of the offseason would have envisioned Manny Machado and Yu Darvish both being on the table and possibly wearing home pinstripes. See, I've got pinstripe fever. Everything comes back to the pinstripes this week, not necessarily the Yankees pinstripes. But and I do think it's interesting there on the record that if Davis, if the market, and the markets are very weak right now for a lot of guys, nobody's getting a four-year deal, I don't think, if you're a closer. So if it's a three-year deal and the terms are favorable, Davis could come back to the Cubs, and then you've got Brandon Morrow and Steve Cishek along with Pedro Strop and Carl Edwards Jr. as setup men. That's a darn good bullpen. I'm almost more excited about next baseball season than I am next Wednesday. Almost. 521, I'll tell you what, sometime in the next 30 minutes, we're going to give away a $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa, so be listening for your chance to win right here on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Stepping aside real quick, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you when we return.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. First of all, we'd like to thank everyone in our customer family for a fantastic year and wish everyone the very happiest of holidays. Right now through January 2nd, we will be making some exceptional deals on all of our new Toyotas. With the amazing finance and lease rates that are available, it's really worth taking advantage of. Don't miss out. For those of you who want a new vehicle experience but are in the market for a used vehicle, you'll want to check out our certified used Toyotas that have low finance rates, extra warranty coverage, and come with Toyota of Iowa City's exclusive continued care on our used vehicles, which includes 2 free years of oil changes and tire rotations with no mileage limitation. If you'd like to do business with the dealer that's been voted best of the area every year for the last 8 years, come on in and let's make it easy for you at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1, right off 218 in Iowa City.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with the tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Ken Rosenthal has a pretty good piece about Manny Machado maybe moving back to shortstop. I think he's so good at third base, I would keep him there, but I don't necessarily think he'd be terrible if he moved back to shortstop. That's the position that he played coming up through the minors with the Orioles. It sounds as if he'd be open to playing both positions, or one or the other, if he returns to the Orioles. But the White Sox are also in the mix there, and I know that's got White Sox fans flummoxed. Why would you, if you're building this rebuild, if you're Rick Hahn, trade assets for possibly 1 year of Manny Machado? Well, I mean, as Jesse Rogers said, you've got a chance to hit the home run. Try to hit the home run, and who knows? Maybe he would enjoy it there and turn around, and you can re-sign him to a long-term deal. This is going to be a fascinating offseason because, as I've been discussing with a friend of mine, the money and the length of the deals is not anywhere where the players and the agents have wanted it. And so you've got guys that are just sitting out there right now, and they're not getting what they want, and so they're going to have to take a year off the contract, or they're going to have to take X number of dollars off the table, and it's going to make it a little bit easier for some of these teams to open up the wallets and maybe bring a guy like Wade Davis back into the fold. A little bit of it never hurts to talk a little baseball. Especially when it's December 19th and opening day is still... Look, pitchers and catchers aren't reporting until the middle of February. We got a long way to go, and I would say a short time to get there, but not quite.
Pitchers and catchers report.
feel just as long if you're a baseball fan. As,
is that a day that you mark on your calendar, or are no, you just waiting until
when I was,
midway through?
When I was single and miserable as opposed to just miserable, I used to mark Valentine's Day every year. Valentine's Day every year, give or take, some pitchers and catchers would report a day or two earlier, but February 14th to me always in my head is pitchers and catchers report spring training starts to heat up, and then a week or two later, then you get players rolling in and you get the games going. And I'm a, you know me, I'm a baseball nerd, so I like watching these guys that are on the 40-man roster that are never going to set foot on a major league diamond, but that's their chance in spring training.
So you'll know the answer to my next question. Why do pitchers and catchers report before position players?
Well, because they need more work, right? In the old days? Is this an actual quiz?
No, I have no idea. Why do pitchers and catchers show up before anybody else? I don't understand that.
Yeah, there was a great trivia question earlier today on Twitter from Ben Hill, who covers minor league baseball for MLB.com. Who was the last player active in the major leagues to have began their pro career in the decade of the 1980s? And the answer, it's difficult, and I'm not going to draw this one out, but if you remember the left-handed reliever Darren Oliver.
Oh, yep.
Darren Oliver is the answer. He played, I believe, in the minor leagues in 1988 was his first professional year. See with the Cardinals ever, Oliver?
I think so, yeah.
I know, look, if you're left-handed and you can throw somewhat accurately and somewhat hard, you're going to be around in the major leagues for a long time. Darren Oliver was a tremendous left-handed reliever for a good number of years.
He was in St. Louis 98 and 99.
Now, the question is, do I remember him as a Cub? Was Darren Oliver ever? I'm sure he was at some point in time. He was not?
He was never a Chicago Cub. Rangers, Cardinals, then Rangers again, Boston, Colorado, Florida, Houston, New York Mets, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, back to the Rangers, then the Blue Jays to cap off the career.
I was thinking, I could have swore he spent some time with the Cubs. Maybe it was in the minor leagues. Maybe it was in a spring training deal or something, and then they cut him loose. But, yeah, you've pitched with about everybody, including the Nippon Ham Fighters and the Yomiuri Giants when you've been around as long as he was.
Isn't that who Ohtani played for, the Ham Fighters?
Yes, I believe so. And it was they're just the Fighters. It's Nippon Ham is the owner of the team, which for many, many years confused me as a baseball fan. I also thought that the mascot of the team was an entity that fought hams. But no. Fool me once.
Or they just use
shame
ham as
on
a
you.
Weapon.
Fool me twice. Shame on me. Kyle's here for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
The Iowa players were available to the media today, as well as the first 20 minutes of Iowa's practice this morning. One notable absence was Miles Taylor, who was listed as the starting strong safety despite being seen in a boot as recently as last weekend. Amani Hooker is likely to start in his place. Josh Jackson spoke today, and he says that he's already done some thinking regarding a potential jump to the NFL, and while he says he's 50-50 for now, he also said he's planning to hold a press conference to announce a decision after the Pinstripe Bowl. And in case you need something to do tonight, the Iowa basketball team is going to be hosting Southern Utah tonight. Tip-off for that one's going to be at 8 o'clock. Iowa State football got a pair of commitments last night with the early signing period approaching. Deshaun James from Perry, Iowa is a 6'2", 3-star receiver, according to 24/7 Sports. And North Scott's Zach Peterson was one of the state's hottest recruits late in the process. And the 6'5", 3-star defensive end also committed last night over offers from Nebraska, Kansas State, and Iowa, among others. UNI linebacker Jared Farley and defensive back Elijah Campbell were each named second-team All-Americans today by Stats, and that's actually the fourth outlet to recognize both of them, joining College Sports Madness, Phil Steele, and the AP. We've got more high school basketball for you tonight, beginning at 5:50. 107.5 FM, the North Gym, will leave our show and pick things up from Xavier for the first half of a girl-boy doubleheader between the Saints and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Once our show's over, we'll also have the boys' game right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as the boys from Solon hosting West Delaware on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Do I remember Paul Ossenmacher? Of course I do, Hurtin and Stocker text line. Tremendous left-handed pitcher for the Cubs in that late 80s, early 90s window. Former Atlanta Brave as well, but I digress. I got a great story about him and Alabama and Rick Sutcliffe, but I can't tell it because we're out of time.
We're going to do a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. The Packers, no longer in playoff contention, placed Aaron Rodgers on IR to not risk further injury to their franchise quarterback. He missed several weeks this season with a broken collarbone. North Carolina's Sylvia Hatchell, third Division I women's basketball coach to win 1,000 career games. Her Tar Heels' 79-63 victory over Grambling State got her the milestone. Connecticut coach Gino Auriemma goes for his 1,000th career W tonight against Oklahoma. Florida Atlantic football coach Lane Kiffin signed a new 10-year deal. Owls face Akron in the Boca Raton Bowl. Kickoff top of the hour, ESPN Radio, ESPN TV, and the ESPN app. Marlins outfielder Christian Yelich, unhappy over the trading of star players this offseason, set to meet in the coming days with the team's front office before he assesses his future in Miami. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred will be a guest on the Dan Le Batard Show tomorrow to discuss the Marlins' new Derek Jeter-led ownership group. 12:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio. FanRag Sports Network reports the Astros are going to meet with free agent righty Yu Darvish. NBA Sixers center Joel Embiid out tonight. Amir Johnson starting against the Kings.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Beat the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
The best gift ideas come from Iowa Book. A popular gift for that Hawkeye fan on your list is a quarter zip shirt. Iowa Book offers the best selection in the state, from lightweight shirts to heavyweight jackets, and all of the top brands like Nike, Russell, Champion, Columbia, and Under Armour. Iowa Book also offers a postal substation and free gift wrap. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Welcome back in, 5:35. Remember, your chance to take home a $50 gift card from Elevate Salon and Spa coming up in a matter of mere minutes. You two are going to have to fill me in on this, though. What do you have against people who work at mall kiosks?
Because I don't have anything against them in particular.
That this time of year, you get a lot of temporary pop-ups at the area malls and shopping centers, and primarily with the malls, and they like to try to get you to stop and and sample things, or they ask you questions as you're trying to walk by them. Those people are just doing their job. I want to know what you have against them.
Well, I don't have anything against them. What I do
You
admit-
mean Gene Okerlund them on Twitter, which, by the way, excellent use of a mean Gene Okerlund gif.
First of all, they're never selling products that I would ever be interested in.
Well, how do you know if you don't stop and sample?
Because it's usually some kind of moisturizer or some kind of, I don't even know what. It's usually not a product that is targeted,
Kyle agreed with you too.
Demographic. So they're always trying to stop me, and usually I just say, no thank you, and then keep moving. That's all I was trying to say. I have nothing against them. I have nothing against their product, but I'm usually not going to stop and say, oh, yeah, tell me more.
So you're saying no offense if anybody out there
listening
is a,
I don't want to offend anybody.
I sometimes...
I just hate your product.
In my younger years, was an easy mark, and I will cop to this. At one point in time, I bought a, and I still remember it, I had the jar for years. This is back when I was a single guy. But I got talked into buying a container of, it was like the Dead Sea salt exfoliating, and it was like green apple scented or something like that. The saleswoman was attractive, and I stopped by and she got me to try the sample, and then the next thing you know, then it's difficult for you to walk away and say no, and that's how they get you.
Well, exactly.
And I want, for the record, everybody to know I'm not an easy mark like that anymore. At all.
I will say this. I bought one of the more famous purchases that has ever graced the KGYM area in this building from a mall kiosk.
I thought you were going to say that has ever graced the airwaves here, and
nope.
I thought you got the Lawrence Phillips football at a mall.
Now
that I want to see. Hey, excuse me, sir. Have you ever wanted to acquire a Lawrence Phillips autographed football? Nope.
Tell me.
Sorry.
More.
Keep walking. I've got the. I put off the look now. I don't, for a number of reasons, but it just must be the demeanor. My resting you-know-what face. I don't know.
Happy
but
face.
They don't even bother me anymore. They just look and go, that guy is... He's trouble.
I'm going to try that then. But what I was going to say is, I bought the poop emoji pillows at a mall kiosk.
Those had gas station written all over them for some reason.
No.
Tyler and I thought, which gas station did he go in? So that was a mall kiosk purchase.
Yes, locally.
Oh, there you go. That's the key word this holiday season for those of you who have not finished up your holiday shopping. Shop local, even if it's a mall kiosk selling poop emoji pillows. 319-366-1600. And if you are a worker at a mall kiosk, Alex totally meant to offend you. That's what we do on this program. Sometimes, most of the time, unintentionally. But Alex came in today and he goes, I've got an agenda. I want to offend people that work at mall kiosks.
No, they do a job that I could never do, so.
No one sets out in life saying that's what they want to do for everybody that does, that's temporary. And I don't want to say I feel pity or I feel sorry, but I feel for them because it's like anybody else who's in sales. And that's why I could never do sales, because I don't handle rejection well.
Neither do
never
I.
Never have, never will. And so if my career came down to sales, if I had to sell something to keep a roof over my family's head, I just got really depressed all of a sudden, because I'm thinking of what would happen to my family if it came down to that. I mean, I would do it, and then I'd be like a lot of salespeople. I just bounce around from job to job because I'd be bad at it at one place. Everybody's always looking for salespeople, right? Though,
yes.
You find a new job because... Well, you're bad at sales one place, but you'll be great at the next one. That's going to be me after this wears off. Just be bouncing around selling aluminum siding somewhere. 319-366-1600. Give us a couple minutes. We'll get you a $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa. Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker met the media earlier yesterday in Iowa City. It was late in the afternoon. Didn't get a chance to get some of this audio on the air. You'll hear from Brian Ferentz coming up in just a little bit, but Phil Parker. Yesterday, Kyle came back and goes, it's boring. And I go, I've known Phil Parker for a really long time. He's not the most interesting guy in the world. But today, Kyle comes in and he goes, you know what? Upon further review, I listened to Phil Parker, and there were some interesting things there.
There was. He's still trying to get them loaded and onto the system. But
do we have gremlins?
We're having some gremlins right now.
Gremlins is, you know what? Gremlins falls into the category that Die Hard does. Is Gremlins a Christmas movie?
Yes.
If you remember, have you seen Gremlins?
Yes.
Now, see, that surprises me because that's a movie that came out when I was a kid. I don't think you were born yet when Gremlins, but you've seen it.
Is that about the Christmas toy that if you feed after midnight, it
turns
into a...
It's not a toy. It's an animal. It's a Mogwai.
Yeah.
Basic plot of the film. A toy. No, that's... Now, it looks like a Furby. You remember
that's
the Furby?
What I was saying. It looks
but if
like
you're going
to
discuss the movie with me, please at least know the basics. It's a Mogwai.
I knew that if you feed it after midnight, it turns into a terrorizing creature.
Do you remember what he accidentally gets fed after midnight?
I don't.
I believe it was fried chicken.
I think
it's fried chicken, and then Spike and the rest of the gremlins come along. And I saw that movie on a rack, I think it was at Target or something several years ago, you know, the $5 DVDs. And I was like, oh, man, nostalgic for my childhood. I'm going to pick this up, which one of my favorite artists of all time, country music singer and songwriter Hoyt Axton, plays the father in that movie. Neither here nor there. That's just an aside. And so I thought, okay, I'm nostalgic. It's the same reason that I will buy anything that has like a old school 80s uniform or ball cap or anything, because we like things that remind us of when we were young, innocent children without the worries of day-to-day life, like paying mortgages and selling Dead Sea salt scrub at mall kiosks. So I bought the Gremlins movie, and I hadn't seen it in 20-some years, and I brought it home and I watched it. I thought, good God, I can't believe that I was allowed to watch that when I was a kid. How did I not have nightmares? And then, yeah, it's a Christmas movie because it takes place at Christmas.
So how did that get resolved? How did the people who fed the gremlin after the animal after midnight and it turned into this disgusting creature, how did they
resolve it? Creatures. They multiply. I don't look spoiler alert. I don't want to give anything away but there was a Gremlins 2. So let's just say that the issue didn't necessarily get resolved.
Luckily,
and that's all. I don't want to spoil a 25-30-year-old movie on the off chance that some people out there haven't seen it.
Well, that ruins my segue. I was just going to say we got our Gremlins under control, and we're good. We have Phil Parker's audio.
Okay, our poll question today, KGYM Radio, what the hell are them guys talking about Gremlins for? Well, because it's a Christmas movie. Just accept it and move on. Phil Parker, our poll question today, KGYMRadio.com, has to do with one of his charges, Josh Jackson, and what his announcement is going to be. Josh Jackson said today, I'll talk to you after the Pinstripe Bowl, basically. I'll let you know whether I'm coming back or going to the NFL. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question at KGYMRadio.com. But Phil Parker had a number of things to say about Josh Jackson yesterday, and I thought we would bring you a little bit of that audio today as we all suffer from pinstripe fever here in Eastern Iowa, which the cure for pinstripe fever is next Wednesday at 4:15 right here on KGYM. We will have the Pinstripe Bowl between Iowa and Boston College, and then just like polio and everything else, it will be eradicated moving forward, and nobody will ever suffer from, until there's anti-pinstripe fever people out there and we don't get vaccinated for bad bowl games and things just spiral out of control. But I'm trying to get a wrap on this pinstripe fever, and I think Phil Parker, clearly, as you'll hear him, you'll hear the excitement in his voice, as you often do when we listen to Phil Parker talk, discussing Josh Jackson. And really, Alex, when you look back, coming into the year, I think we knew Josh Jackson was an okay football player, but I don't think anybody could have seen him having the year that he did this year. It really is. I mean, Kirk Ferentz has been the coach at Iowa for 19 years. I'm having a hard time coming up with the list of more than a handful of players, and Josh Jackson would be one of them, that really just emerges out of nowhere to have an NFL first-round caliber draft pick season.
No, I can't even think of very many prospects in general, not just from the University of Iowa that have done this. I think back a couple of years where BYU had a defensive end named Ziggy Ansah, who was not an undrafted talent going into the year, according to a lot of scouts, and then ended up being a top five pick. But Josh Jackson was a guy who a lot of people thought was going to be one of the weak spots in the secondary. Kirk said it over and over again. Okay, we realize that we're very young on the perimeter on offense, but we're also very young on the perimeter on defense. And people wanted to jump on the Manny Rigumba train and were worried about Josh Jackson. My, how things have changed.
I go back to his freshman year. I was the conductor. I was ready to take your ticket and put the little punch in it on the Manny Rigumba train. So I'll cop
Didn't
to
you
being
get that started?
The conductor. Bad time to make any sort of train analogy after yesterday.
That's true.
Here's Phil Parker. Again, listen to the excitement in his voice. He's one of the most animated coaches on Kirk Ferentz's staff when it comes to dealing with the media. This is Phil Parker talking about whether or not he was caught off guard or surprised by the meteoric ascension of Josh Jackson this season.
What would you tell him about turning pro, and what have you talked to him about that decision that he's got coming up?
Well, everybody has their decisions to make, and, you know, we joke around a little bit about it. But, you know, it's definitely a decision that he's going to have to make with his family and what's best for him. The good thing is he'll graduate in May. I think he has somewhere around 9 to 12 credits left. So I'm excited about that. If he chooses to go, I'm happy for him. I wish him the best of luck. If he stays, it'd probably be our best recruit in the back end.
See, that's what you give me the ability to press the buttons, and normally it's Alex or Kyle doing it, and I hit the wrong button there. That was Phil talking about.
Blame the gremlins.
That was Phil talking about Josh Jackson's decision. Let me see if I can get this right here again this time. This is the clip that I was trying to set up before I ruined it earlier.
Phil, did you think in your wildest dreams that Josh was capable of accomplishing what he did this year? I mean, how surprised were you?
Well, Josh has a lot of athletic ability. I think, going through the process with him, and he played 2 years ago sparingly in the sub packages, and, you know, he has all the athletic ability. I think it takes a little bit of time when you're working in the secondary, the different coverages or schemes as far as, you know, are you playing zone or are you playing man? And I think that's really helped him. The more he was involved in the game planning and seeing it, that he improved every day. I think he has a lot more upside. I think he can go. I think Miles Taylor did a great job with him, is bringing him along, how to show them how to watch film and study the different offenses that we see. And I think, you know, they live together, so that's kind of a nice little thing for us that, you know, he really took care of them. And I think he's growing every day.
I can't believe that I'm about to say this, but in hearing Pat Hardy of AllHawkeyes.com ask that question, I now find myself wondering what exactly Phil Parker's wildest dreams would entail.
Oh, no.
In your wildest dreams.
You just put an image in people's heads.
You listen to how animated and how excited Phil Parker, which is a little ironic, because if you've ever been around Phil Parker at a practice or during games,
a little different.
He's much different. He actually comes across as somebody who's extremely engaged in the moment when he's dealing with the media, and not so much. So maybe his wildest dreams would actually be entertaining. But thinking about, my wildest dreams, eating something after midnight, which the text line is pointing out it was definitely fried chicken. I was right about that. Look, I watched the movie one time after I bought it. And how many times do you buy a movie and watch it multiple times? I have dozens of DVDs that I thought, oh, it'd be a great idea to buy this. I want to own this movie. And then you take it home and you probably unwrap it the very first night that you buy it and bring it home from the store and you watch it. And then it just goes on the shelf and gathers dust. Now, there's some movies that I watch over and over and over again, but I can't tell you how many DVDs or Blu-rays or Laserdiscs, there's another reference for you older listeners out there, that I have laying around, watch them one time, never watch them again.
I don't currently own any DVDs.
You have no DVDs, you own zero DVDs.
Correct. I'm very reliant on Hulu and
everything's
Netflix.
Digital with you?
And yeah. And
you're a streamer.
I'm a streamer, and I pay for everything. I'm not a pirate or anything, but I currently own zero DVDs.
Now I'm picturing you as a pirate, and somehow that's part of Phil Parker's wildest dream that he's ever had. Anyway, this is going to be a little biased perhaps here, but Phil Parker, how would you advise Josh Jackson at this point?
What would you tell him about turning pro, and what have you talked to him about that decision that he's got coming up?
Well, everybody has their decisions to make, and, you know, we joke around a little bit about it. But, you know, it's definitely a decision that he's going to have to make with his family and what's best for him. The good thing is he'll graduate in May. I think he has somewhere around 9 to 12 credits left. So I'm excited about that. If he chooses to go, I'm happy for him. I wish him the best of luck. If he stays, it'd probably be our best recruit in the back end.
What do you think he should do? How would you advise him?
You know, I'm really not in his situation. I'd say, you know, you got to look at all the pros and cons of it. You know, one thing about college football, it's more family life. I think when you start going into the NFL, it's all about a business. So he has to look at that. And, you know, if it's a business decision, you know, that he wants to base it on, or does he want to be part of some kind of family here, or, you know, he can come back and be another two-year starter here and still have the same opportunities. I think he has to look at it, you know, with his family, what's the best interest for him.
Phil Parker talking about, did I hit the wrong button again?
No, we're good. We got everything worked out, a little bit of a hiccup, and it's on me. But that sounds like Phil Parker really wants Josh Jackson to stay. I'm not going to be in his, I'm not going to make the decision for him, but he can go where it's a business or stay here with his family and become a two-year starter and really enjoy the college experience. That sounds like he really wants him to stay, and he should. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, I'm trying to figure out whether this is a good way to give away the $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa today or not, and I think that it is. But we're going to give you a little bit of Gremlins trivia here. Gremlins, the movie that we've been talking about. I'm making this up on the fly. The first caller to 319-366-1600 who can correctly identify the name of the actress who plays the girlfriend of Billy in Gremlins. First caller to correctly identify the actress who plays the girlfriend of the main character in the movie Gremlins is going to take home a $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa. 319-366-1600. Can you read my handwriting there? Kyle knows the answer to this. He's a big fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Oh, did I just give it away? Well, we'll find out who our winner is when we come back after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
The first caller, Andy in North Liberty.
That's right.
First thing he said, Phoebe Cates.
That's exactly how it went.
She's got a much more memorable role in Fast Times at Ridgemont High than she did in Gremlins. But kudos to Andy for knowing that. He's got the $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa. And if you folks are really lucky tonight, I may spoil Gremlins for you coming up in hour number three if you haven't seen the movie. I'll read the... I don't want to turn this into a thing because then it's going to be like the dating corner and all the other things that I don't ever want to be associated with. But Gremlins, the original movie, came out when I was 4 years old. My parents let me watch this movie when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I'm sure I was five by the time it came out on VHS. Parents of the year. Kyle's with us. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa players were available to the media today, as well as the first 20 minutes of Iowa's practice this morning. And one notable absence was Miles Taylor, who was listed as the starting strong safety despite being seen in a boot as recently as last weekend. Imani Hooker is likely to start in his place. That could be confirmed tomorrow. Josh Jackson spoke today and says that he's already done some thinking regarding a potential jump to the NFL, and while he says he's 50-50 for now, he also said he's already been planning to hold a press conference to announce a decision after the Pinstripe Bowl. And in case you need anything to do tonight, the Iowa basketball team will be hosting Southern Utah. Tip-off is going to be at 8 o'clock. Iowa State football got a pair of commitments last night with the early signing period approaching. DeShane James from Perry, Iowa is a 6'2", 3-star receiver, according to 24/7 Sports. And North Scott's Zach Peterson was one of the state's hottest recruits late in the process. The 6'5", 3-star defensive end also committed last night over offers from Nebraska, Kansas State, and Iowa, among others. UNI linebacker Jared Farley and defensive back Elijah Campbell were each named second-team All-Americans today by Stats. That's actually the fourth outlet to recognize both of them, joining College Sports Madness Phil Steele and the AP. We've got high school basketball tonight. Right now, over on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we've got the first half of a girl-boy doubleheader between the Saints and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Once our show's over, we'll also have the boys' game right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as the boys from Solon hosting West Delaware on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Those 107.5 FM listeners have no idea what they're missing out on, because when we kick off hour number three, before we get to Brian Ferentz from yesterday, I will spoil the movie Gremlins for the three people who have not seen it.